In this episode, we're going to be talking about respect. All parents want their children to respect them, right? I'm sure you do. You want your children to listen to you and to respect what you're saying to them. You want your children to talk to you with respect. You don't want your children to shout and scream at you and call your names and say, I hate you, and whatever else your children may or may not have done up until this point or could even do in the future. Respect is an important part of the parent-child relationship, and it goes both ways. So we're going to talk about respect. Now, I've met a lot of parents in my journey so far, and every single one of them have always said, I wish my child would listen to me. I wish my child would respect me. I've met lots of different parents, even outside of the work that I do. And I'm just a keen observer of parenting behavior in general. And through my observations, I've noticed a lot of different behavioral traits, but usually boils down to one thing. The parent often demands respect from their children, but they fail to understand how their own actions toward their children is contributing to the lack of respect that they receive in return. You see, I'm a big believer that you will get out what you put out, you will get back what you put out in this life. And this is not some secret manifesting kind of thing. This is, you will receive what you put out. And that is so true, especially in accordance with your words. It's not just your actions, it's your words as well. It can be very easy when your children are racing around the house and you're very tired just to blurt out things and call them names. I've met a lot of different parents that have, in their anger and frustration, have sworn at their children, have called them little S-bags, have called them a-holes, you little B, you get the language, right? I've witnessed this over and over and over again, and yet they can't believe that their child just won't listen to them and respect them. And that's because you are not modeling the behavior that you wish to see in your child. You have to model the behavior you want to see. You have to respect your children if you want your children to respect you. Yes, your children are going to absolutely push every button you ever knew you had and every button you didn't know you had. They are going to push you to the limits beyond where you thought you could ever be pushed to. And yet, if we can learn to control our emotional responses toward our children, we can model respect to them despite their actions, because our job is to disciple them, which means to guide and correct. If we lower our level down to their level, okay, because they're reactive, their prefrontal cortex is only starting to develop and doesn't finish developing until they're about 24, 25 years old. The prefrontal cortex is at the front of the brain and is responsible for impulse control. So your children, especially when younger, are very impulsive. They act without thinking. They speak without understanding what it is they're saying. My son, when he was very little, said, I hate you. He didn't understand what that meant. He just blurted it out. He had heard it somewhere else. And when I sat him down, instead of yelling at him, I sat him down and I explained to him and I asked him, I said, do you understand what hating mommy means? He said, it just means I'm upset because I can't have my Freddo frog chocolate. I said, no, that's not what it means. And I explained to him on his level what hating someone means. And then I asked him the question, do you hate mommy? Now you know what hating means. Do you hate mommy? And he said, no. I said, so how are you feeling? Are you feeling upset that you didn't get the chocolate when you asked? Yes. So by doing that, I was helping him reframe his negative feelings to an appropriate level. I calmed the situation down to an appropriate level, and I helped him label his emotions so that he could understand it. You see, you as an adult can understand your emotions. You have the ability to do that, but your children don't. They don't have the emotional vocabulary that you yourself have access to. They don't understand why they are feeling the way they are feeling, and they have a very limited vocabulary in order to express how they are feeling. They are very impulsive. They have a limited capacity to inhibit their impulses. So they're going to be impulsive. They're going to be reactive. They're going to shout and scream, and they're going to throw tantrums, especially when they're younger. And when they're older, teenagers can still throw tantrums. It just looks like grunting and moodiness and slamming doors. That's their version of throwing a tantrum. And so how do you deal with those emotional, impulsive, reactive responses from your children when you're tired and you're exhausted and you just feel that you're pushed to your limits, that you just can't take anymore? The answer is to train yourself to become emotionally intelligent. And there are five pillars to emotional intelligence. And one of those pillars is called emotional regulation. And that is learning to control your emotional responses to a stimuli. So instead of screaming and shouting at your child from the other room or the other side of the house, you learn to go to where they are, stand there, do the gray rock method, as I've put in the Ultimate Guide to Promoting Positive Self-Esteem in Children ebook that I've written. You can find that at promotingselfesteem.com. The gray rock method is where you are learning to control your emotional responses. You're responding to the situation without screaming or yelling or being overly emotional. And if you have responded to your children up until that point before using the gray rock method, very emotional, very overreactive, then the gray rock method would work even better, because what it does is break patterns. Your children will get used to the way you behave toward them. They get used to the language you use. They see your patterns. They will know that if I say this, my mom's mainly going to react like this, or my dad's going to react like this. They will figure you out and they will learn to manipulate that. So if you learn to control your emotions and control your responses, instead of screaming and shouting and calling them names or demanding that they respect you and demanding they listen to you, you model that behavior to them. Even when you are feeling immense pressure, even when you are feeling tired, and you can practice that today, right now, if you're a parent and you're listening and you have a child, they're going to push your buttons today. They do every day at some point. You can start practicing emotional regulation now. Model the behavior that you wish to see. I see a lot of parents demanding from their children, but they're not giving their children what their children need in order to reciprocate. You see, your children are a mirror. They will reflect back what you put into them. Whatever you put into them, whatever energy you give into them, you will get that energy back. Maybe not immediately, maybe it's going to compound over time, but you will receive that back. So your child is going to reflect back to you the energy that you put in them time and time again. It doesn't mean because they're reactive and emotional and impulsive, that means that you were that way yourself. Perhaps you weren't. They're just children. All children react like that and act like that. I have been an online teacher for a long time, and I have taught children from all over the world, from Dubai to Iran to China, in all different languages and all different cultures of all different ages, and every single one of them are impulsive, are reactive. Every child is like that. Your child acting the way they do toward you in those stressful times is not unique to you and your situation. Your child isn't unique in that way. Your child is just being a child. However, you can be a victorious parent. You can be a unique parent, because a lot of parents react the same way to their children as the children react to them. They end up screaming to their children. They end up shouting to them. They end up throwing their hands up in the air and using their physical presence to intimidate their small child. They will use foul language at their child. And yet they sit back and wonder why their child isn't respecting them back. And that is why. If you want your children to respect you and to listen to you, model that behavior over and over and over again. It's going to end up feeling like you're a broken record because you're going to do the same pattern of behavior over and over again. You're going to learn how to regulate your emotions. Instead of screaming and shouting, you lower your voice down to the level. If your child's decibel level is, say, at a 10, your tone of your voice should come down to at least a 5. To at least a 5. If your child is shouting like this, and then you've got to shout even louder over top of them, what's going to happen? You're going to end up in a screaming match. So if your child is screaming and shouting, you've got to bring your voice down to this level and have pauses in between your sentences. Because your child's most likely talking like this, I want this, I want this, blah, 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 blah. Now you speak like this, calmly, slowly, deeply, thoroughly, simply. That's it. That's how you practice it. It's very, very easy. You just bring the calm in the room. Have you ever met somebody and you've never met them before, and instantly you just get this really peaceful feeling about them? Or have you ever entered a friend's house for the first time, you think, wow, this feels peaceful in this home. There's something about this person's presence that is just calm and peaceful. You see, we emanate the energy that we are. If we, in private, are shouting, yelling, and screaming at our kids, even if we try to hide that in public, the energy created by that will emanate from us and people will pick up from that. So if you want to be a peaceful person and you want to have other people around you saying, you know what, there's something different about you. You feel like home. You feel like a comforting, a trusting, a calm person. You feel like somebody that would listen to me, that I could open up to. You know, I see your children and they're yelling and shouting sometimes, and you're just at the center of it all, and you're calm and you're guiding them and you're correcting them. Wouldn't that be a wonderful observation for other people in your life to have about you? Well, I can tell you that it is absolutely possible for that to happen for you. And it can happen today. It can happen now, because you can start today. You can start now. If your children are bringing the energy 20 plus levels high, just calm the energy down. You want low energy, like calm energy in your room, in your home? Bring that into the room. Literally, just think to yourself that when I step into a room, I am bringing the energy that I want to see. I am giving energy to my child that I want to see. And I'm just going to end this podcast with a little reminder and a little question. Would you want your child to look at you and call you an a-hole or a B or an S bag or anything? You wouldn't, would you? You'd be shocked. Imagine if your child got upset with somebody in public and turned around and called that person an a-hole in public. And it shocked you because, you know, you've called your child that before, but you've always told them that they can't speak that way to others. Imagine the cognitive dissonance that you're causing your child. And if you're not aware what cognitive dissonance is, it's when you are holding two competing beliefs. For example, if you hit your child and then say to your child that it is bad to hit somebody, it's going to cause a cognitive dissonance, and it's actually psychological damage to them. Because on one hand, you're saying that you are not allowed to hit anyone. Hitting is wrong. Hitting is bad. However, you yourself as a parent just hit them. It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical sense. Your child can't really verbalize why it doesn't make sense to them when they're a young age, but they will when they're older. They will be able to verbalize that very clearly, and it will often come out in aggression and aggressive actions. So model the behavior you wish to see. If you're setting the rule in your home that hitting is bad and you don't want your children to hit people, then don't hit them. If you're setting the rule and behavior in your home that we don't speak to each other in harsh ways, we don't call each other swear words, we don't call each other names, we calm ourselves and we ask what we want without screaming, yelling, or shouting, then you need to do that to your children first. You don't need to wait until they start behaving before you start feeling calm. You have to bring the calm first, each and every single time. It's not on your children to be calm, and then you can finally say, oh, thank goodness, they're behaving today, they're calm. Now I can feel calm and peaceful. That's not how it works. You're the leader. You are the one who models the behavior. You set the rules, you set the tone, you set the kind of behavior that is either accepted or unacceptable. If you're telling your children that a certain kind of behavior or language is unacceptable, but yet you yourself are displaying that language or behavior, you're causing them psychological damage, and it is going to come back to you when they're older, especially when they're teenagers, and you're going to have some very rough years, usually. I can't speak for everybody in every single family, but that's what happens when that kind of thing is done in the home. And I've witnessed this not only in my own childhood, but in so many other parents, just in observing outside of my work and inside my work as well. And they can't understand why their 8-year-old is slamming doors and saying, oh, I just want to like kill myself, or you're an a-hole mom, and things like that. And then I ask them, have you ever used those words in your home, even just once? Have you ever used those words? Well, yes, when I'm upset, sometimes I just lock myself in my room and I scream into my pillow and I say these things. Then there you go. Your children are always listening. They're always going to pick up on that behavior. And I asked somebody the other day, you know, their child wouldn't listen to them. And I said, well, how do you react when they're, you know, pushing all your buttons? Well, every now and then I've slapped my child, she said. Well, there's your reason right there. Because you're saying that this behavior is unacceptable, and yet you yourself are committing that behavior. It's just like saying that thieving is a crime and then you go and thieve. It doesn't make any sense. Hitting is unacceptable and then you go and hit. Speaking foul language is unacceptable, but then you go and speak foul language in front of your children or to your children. Name calling is unacceptable, but then you go and call your children every name under the sun when you're upset with them. It doesn't make any sense. So you must model the behavior that you wish to see in your children, because it will come back to you and they will reach a certain age where it's out of your control. You will not be able to control that situation. You have lost all power and authority in your home. And that's when people get really worried about when their children hit the teenage years and say, my child is off the rails. I've got to kick them out of home. You know, they're 16. They refuse to listen to me. And then we dig deep into how they were treated right from when they learn how to walk and speak and talk. And you realize there's a repeated pattern of behavior of saying, you're not allowed to do this, but it's okay for me to do it. That's why children grow up to disrespect their parents. Not all children grow up to be in the teenage years and grow up to be vandals, or grow up to be thieves, or grow up to be the kind of kids that slam the doors and scream and shout and refuse to speak to you. My child is 19 years old. He will be 20 at the end of this year. And I had received none of that throughout his entire teenage years, because I trained him right from when he was very young. And even though I made a lot of mistakes and I really reined it in, by the time he was 8 years old, I really started displaying more emotional control
and really modeling the behavior that I wish to see, you can turn it around in a short period of time, even if your child is a little bit older. You just have to be more consistent over and over again. Keep modeling the behavior you wish to see. You will get through to your child, you will reach them, and that will be reflected back to you. So there's no reason to be afraid of the teenage years. There's no reason to be afraid of your child's behavior. You are in control, and you don't elicit control by forcing it, by forcing your hand. You don't elicit control in the home by saying and doing things that are a complete opposition to the rules that you set. So I hope this podcast has helped you and giving you some food for thought. What kind of language is coming out of your mouth on a daily basis? What kind of attitudes and biases do you have when you're dealing with your children and when you're dealing with them with their bad behavior? What kind of reflection would you like to see in your children? How do you want your children to speak to you? How do you want your children to react and act in your presence? How do you want your children to speak about you when you're not around to their friends and teachers? How do you want your children to feel emotionally when they are around you? Do you want them to feel like they're walking on eggshells? Do you want them to feel like they can't trust you with their deepest, darkest feelings and secrets? Do you want them to feel like they just don't like you and they just can't wait to get some friends and get out the door and get away from you? Of course, you don't want all of those things. You want them to feel loved and safe and peaceful and calm and come to you when they're having issues. So in order to create that kind of environment in your home, you must model the behavior that you wish to see. Gandhi said it beautifully, be the peace that you want to see in the world. There's so many different variations. Be the person that you want to see in the world. Model the behavior that you want to see in your children. If you don't like what you see, remember, practice emotional regulation. You will get back what you give out.